You are listening to The Recovered Therapist, brought to you by FreshOutOfPlans.com. I'm Jeannie Griffin, and I'll be your host. Instead of focusing on labels, diagnoses, and psychobabble, we keep things honest, simple, and hopeful, so that you can grow personally and spiritually. Thank you for joining me.
I've been asked to talk about boundaries with various groups, setting boundaries with people who are actively in addiction, boundaries in toxic relationships, boundaries with adult parents who are maybe still using and you now have to take care of them, mental health issues with people who have mental health issues, maybe not taking medication, and boundaries for your own self-care. I'm going to address them generally, general rules of communication and boundary setting. And then if you have any more questions, you can send me an email and I can maybe clarify in a particular area. One of the first things to do is listen. Listen to hear what they're saying. Don't listen to defend. And most of the time we wait, and when somebody's talking, we're already defending instead of just listening to their words. So listen. Then you might reflect. You then don't give them too much information. And then you use statements like, when you, I feel, and I could be really wrong. So that's just kind of general techniques. So let me give you examples of them. So you listen to what they're saying. And then you reflect. It's tricky because you don't want to sound like you're being their therapist, but at the same time, you want to make sure you get something straight. So you can say things like, after they finish talking, and don't interrupt them, just let them talk. Then you can say, okay, let me see if I've understood you correctly. Will that be okay? All right, what I heard was, and you can repeat exactly what they said, or you can also generally reflect what you think you're seeing and what you think they're feeling, what you've heard, okay, what you're seeing and heard. So another one way would be somebody's coming to you, they're complaining a lot, and you can say, let me see if I have this right. It sounds like you're very frustrated. Do I have that right? Even if you say that much, people will be so excited because it's like, yes, he gets me, she gets me. They can see that I'm frustrated. So see if you can kind of establish a rapport like that. If it goes awry and they say, no, say, okay, explain it to me again. Let me see if I can hear what you're saying. And then there's another wonderful technique. Once somebody comes to you and just kind of dumps, ask this question. Okay, I can hear you frustrated, or I can see that you're upset. Did you just want me to listen, or did you want feedback? Did you just want me to listen, or did you want feedback? And sometimes that's a showstopper. You can do that with active users, you can do that with toxic relationships, you can do it with adult parents, with people with mental health issues. And that is a way for them to at least, there's a kind of a bridge between, oh, they really are interested, or no, I just wanted to dump. And because sometimes that's all people want to do, they just want to dump on you, and then they feel better and they trot on down the road and leave you worried about the situation and you're trying to come up with solutions. You go back to and say, oh, I have a solution for you about blah, blah, blah. And they're, what do you mean? They're no longer concerned. So don't waste your time, breath, or energy. Now, let's say you're setting a boundary with somebody that doesn't take no for an answer. Hey, let's do so-and-so on Saturday night. And then you'll go into this big, long explanation. Oh, I can't Saturday night because of da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then they'll... You think, oh, God, I've gotten out of that. And then they'll say something like, okay, well, then let's do it Friday. And you think, oh, no. the more you offer information, the more details you give somebody who is not particularly trustworthy, the more chance you have of them using that and turning it around like a boomerang and sending it back to you. So say, oh, it's Friday or Saturday sounds like fun, but we won't be able to do that. Now, you're going to feel real odd with that short an answer, because when your anxiety goes up and somebody's putting pressure on you, what we do normally as human beings is we just over-talk and talk and talk and talk and babble, and that's our anxiety. But you can say to somebody, oh, gosh, that won't work for me, but thanks for the invitation. And you sound like a broken record. It's going to feel real awkward the first time. And, let's do it Friday. No, that won't work either. And it's the polite way of saying, no, I don't want to do anything with you. But you don't want to get into all that. You just simply, that won't work. Maybe another time, and leave it at that. But don't offer, well, no, maybe next month or maybe next Tuesday, because you'll never get out of it. Okay? Now, sometimes with adult parents who may be still using or not, and you're having to take care of them, the reflecting thing is real important. Mom, it's got to be horrible to not be able to, you know, use your arm the way you did. But after we do the PT, you'll be better. See, you reflect, you state what's going on, and you give a little bit of hope. Yeah, it's got to be a real bummer that your shoulder's out of whack. But, you know, we'll get through this with a guy from PT, and it'll be better. Three little short sentences, okay? I'm not saying that every one of my solutions are going to be magic, but they won't be invitations for a more destructive path. And then if the other person is in such bad shape or mental state or emotional state that they just can't hear it and continue to want to argue, that's when you do not take the bait. Just don't take the bait. Well, it's hard, but we'll get through it. It's hard, but you've been through worse. It's hard. Yeah, period. It's hard. Okay, then remember, a real polite and respectful and cooperative phrase you can use before all this is you can say, you know, I could be really wrong here, but it looks like you don't feel well. I could be really wrong here, but I'm not seeing recovered behavior. This morning you've left all your cereal bowl and all your dishes in the living room, and you hadn't done that for a long time. So I don't know what's going on here, but I don't think you're in a good spot. And I could be wrong, but that doesn't look like recovered behavior to me. And then what you learned in Communication 101, when you, I feel, okay? When you don't respond to me, I feel confused about how to help you. When you don't respond to me, I'll make my own plans. When you, I feel. Now, you can go deeper than that. When you call me a bad name, I feel disrespected. And then you can go to part two and say, and what I choose to ask you to do is, and then ask for what you need. And what I choose you to ask you to do is to not call me that. Okay, so they don't respect it. When you call me that again, or when you, whatever, I'm going to remove myself. Now, let me explain to you what that means. I may go into a different room. I may leave and go walk around the block. I may leave and go to a hotel that night. So when you're setting boundaries like that, the other party may cooperate. It may even open a line of communication, but it also may just be totally ineffective. And if that's the case, they are going to hear you giving them an ultimatum. So, I'm not going to go to the party if you're going to drink. Or if you continue to drink, I'm going to leave. Or I'm not going to be in a relationship with anybody who is addicted anymore. Now, whatever, however you phrase it, the other party may hear things as an ultimate. Oh, you're telling me I can't drink? Oh, you're telling me you won't go to the party if I do have anything to drink? But what you can say to them in response is, no, you can do whatever it is you want. But I'm telling you, I'm no longer going to live in addiction. I'm no longer going to let you drive me while you're drunk. I'm no longer going to stay around while you are verbally abusing me. You can do whatever you choose to do. Now, let me talk about that just for a minute, because that's one of the hardest things for spouses to do when the other spouse is actively using an addiction. Now, because they're going to say, well, okay, you're telling me as my wife or my husband that I can't drink anymore. No, I'm not. You can do whatever it is you need to do, but I'm telling you that I can't live with that. And so you do what you're going to do, and then I'm going to have to do what I have to do. You're unhooking from that, if I do this, then you're going to do that. No, it's, you want to continue to drink, you drink. You want to get drunk every time we go out or to somebody's house, you go ahead and do that. But I'm going to then have to make a decision whether I want to live with that or whether I don't. And they get to choose what their behavior is going to be. You're not telling them they can't do something or they can't do something. So how do you practice self-care? Well, somebody calls you, you know they're going to ask a favor of you or whatever. You say, I can't return your call tonight. I will call you after I finish dinner. Don't even answer. Don't text, don't call, don't anything. And then the next morning, you can respond. I picked up your message this morning. So, for instance, there are times with my clients that there are emergencies, or they're traveling, or there's something weird about time zones, and we have to communicate, say, over after hours or on a weekend. But that's with an established client. That's not with somebody who I don't really know. And even with established clients, I judiciously return texts and calls, etc. And I had one young person that never, ever would contact me for an appointment unless it was on a Sunday or Sunday night when he was beginning to think about his week. And I wouldn't respond. You know, everybody knows that if it's an emergency, you call me and you tell me it's an emergency or you go to the nearest ER. But not just, hey, Jeannie, I'd like to have a session. How about Tuesday? You're not going to get an answer from me over the weekend. I'm with my family. I didn't respond because I was with my family. I don't respond until Monday morning. Remember, if it's an emergency, let me know. That's how you set boundaries. And it doesn't have to be mean. It doesn't have to be snippy. It's just that's the way it is. Or Tuesdays, I'm off. Or Tuesday morning, I can't return your call. Tuesday afternoon, or whatever time it is. Wednesday afternoon, you'll have to wait until Thursday for an answer or whatever. You set your boundaries. Now, doesn't mean people are going to like them. They may squirm and have a hissy fit. But, oh well, they can figure it out. So, probably a really good barometer would be also when you're beginning to feel anxious about these interactions, ask yourself, whose feelings am I feeling? Whose feelings am I feeling? Because probably they're not your feelings. Now follow me on this one. You're feeling what you think they're probably feeling. Let me say that again. You're feeling what you think they're feeling. And it could be, you could be way off. That's why one of the best techniques at early stages is to say, let me see if I understood what you were saying. And then you reflect it. Don't interpret it. it sounds to me like you're blah, blah, blah. No, what you said was, so let's say one example I give when I'm working with multifamilies, I'll say, okay, if I say, hey, this chair is purple, and you look at it, and it's obviously a white chair, then you can say, let me see if I heard you correctly. What I think I heard you say is that chair is purple. That table's purple, that whatever. Is that what you said? Yeah, that's what I said. And I'm so happy that finally you see that this chair is purple. And then you can say, well, okay, I understand. And I could be really wrong here, but I understand you said this chair is purple. But you know what? From where I sit in this room, it doesn't look purple at all. It looks white. So it's, I hope you don't think it's playing games. What it is giving the other person some respect and a way out. You don't just say, no, you're an idiot. That chair's not purple. That chair's white. Or that table's not purple. That table's white. What's the matter with you? Can't you see anything? See, now that's what we say to each other sitting in the kitchen. But that's rude. Just flat rude. And what you want to do is try to open communication and set healthy boundaries. I hope some of that helped. And if you have more specific questions, please let me know, and I'll address those.
Thank you for listening to The Recovered Therapist, where we keep topics honest, simple, and hopeful. I love you. There's not a damn thing you can do about it. Until next time.